Remember that every experience you've offered up to Jesus can be your gateway to joy.
Elizabeth Elliot says, "If you dwell on your own feelings about things, rather than dwelling on the faithfulness, the love, and the mercy of God, then you're likely to have a terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day. But dwelling on the faithfulness and the love and the mercy of God is always safe," she says, "because He is the same yesterday, today, and forever." Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of challenge and commitment. Here's your friend, Elizabeth Elliot.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot. I hope you think of me as your friend. When I get your letters, I certainly think of you as mine. So thank you. Well, we're talking about the will of God. Now, it's not very difficult for most of us to cooperate with the will of God when it's an interesting task or an exciting, quote, ministry, unquote. We usually think of that word ministry as meaning very specialized things like writing books or speaking on the radio or singing or preaching. God gives you a ministry. But the thing is, God has given every single one of us a ministry, and most of it is not all that exciting, is it? It's just humble, ordinary, very often hidden tasks. A girl came up to me one time. She said, "I believe the Lord's called me to do exactly what you do, Mrs. Elliot." And I said, "Oh, what's that?" "Oh," she said, "you write books and you travel around and you speak, and I just think it must be so exciting." Well, I have to say that it was a thrill when God called me to the mission field. And it was a thrill to know that God was going to send me to a jungle tribe to reduce a language that had never been reduced to writing. That was thrilling to me. And God does give us many thrills, doesn't He? Very often His will is far better than we could have ever imagined. And very often it is exactly what we had hoped for. But it's not always that way. And although God did call me to be a missionary, He did give me linguistic gifts, He did send me to a jungle tribe, when I did the work of reducing the language to writing, it disappeared. You know the story, those of you that have been listening to me, all of that language work was stolen. And it wasn't easy to realize God's action in the death of a woman in childbirth that a missionary colleague and I were trying to help. It was not easy to realize God's action in saying no to our prayers, that He would spare that woman. She was not a Christian. She was the woman who belonged, as far as we could tell, to a father and two or three sons. They all shared this woman, and I doubt that she had any idea whose baby she was giving birth to. But we had prayed for the family, and we had prayed for this woman. We knew that her birth was likely to be a very difficult and perhaps a dangerous one. And so we had begged the men who were responsible for her to take her to a hospital where she would be better cared for. They didn't do it. We did what we could, and she died. No to our prayers. Macario, the man who was my informant, who was the greatest help that anybody could possibly be in reducing that language to writing because he spoke both Spanish and Colorado, Macario was killed. And then my language notes were stolen. But you know what I believe God was saying to me in each of those crises? It is I. Don't be afraid. Does God kill babies? It was not only the baby that died, it was the mother too. Does God murder people? Macario was murdered. Does God inspire thieves? My language materials were stolen. No, no, no. 1,000 times no. God is not the author of evil. But we're up against mystery, aren't we? We're up against things which are incomprehensible. and which God has never fully explained to us. And He's not going to, as long as we live here in this world. The secret things, we're told, belong to the Lord our God. And you and I are never going to learn to trust if we insist on explanations of what's happening now. We'll never learn to trust if we insist on explanations. A free and joyous trust doesn't come through understanding God's discipline. It comes through a much deeper and larger knowledge of who He is. We have only one job here on earth. It's to know God. And to know Him is to trust Him, and to trust Him is to obey Him, and to obey Him is to love Him. And it's a circle. To love Him is to know Him. To know Him is to trust Him. To trust Him is to obey Him. To obey Him is to love Him. That's our job. Now, where am I going to learn this? Well, I can't think of a better context in which to learn it than situations which we don't understand. We don't have explanations of what's happening now. He wants me to know Him, not His reasons. Do you understand what I'm saying to you today? God wants you and me to know Him. He does not want to give us explanations. Christian faith is not an intellectual exercise. It may be the result of an intellectual exercise, as it was with C.S. Lewis. I don't know very many people who came to God through logic and philosophy and the exercise of the intellect, but C.S. Lewis testifies that that was the way. And yet there was that brilliant shaft of heavenly light that suddenly shone into Lewis's brilliant mind, the light that came through the writings of George MacDonald, and he capitulated. What I needed to learn in San Miguel de los Colorados in Ecuador, South America, was not God's reasons, but God. I learned in that little clearing in the jungle to know God in a way I could not have known before. He was saying, I am. It is I. Trust me. When Maruja died, when Macario was murdered, when my language materials were stolen, God is saying, I know. Fear not. Those words were a motto that were on the wall of Amy Carmichael's room in India. I know. Fear not. My grandfather once asked an American naval officer in the wheelhouse of a destroyer, how do you manage to bring in your convoys when all are running without lights in the dark? The naval officer smiled. He shook his head. We have to do the best we can and trust God. Now that's important to remember. The will of God involves my action too. Submission to the will of God never means refusing to do my own part. If there's something for me to do, I must do it. And certainly the captain of that destroyer had plenty to do, but he had to do it in the dark. And so he had to trust God. And there are a lot of things we have to do in the dark. We don't know what the outcome is going to be. Obedience is what matters. Just do what you have to do, and you know that God will do what you can't do. But then there are times when the hardest thing in the world is to do nothing. And we have to be quietly submissive and do nothing. Now, what if Adam had refused to eat that fruit that was forbidden in the garden? What do you think Eve's response would have been if he refused? But Eve had her mind made up. A life of surrender and acceptance must be active surrender and acceptance. Eve refused God's will. She had made up her own mind that it was going to be her will. I sometimes think that if Adam had refused to go along and eat the fruit with her, then Adam would have done what a husband is supposed to do. He would have protected his wife from sin, from a mistake, from a willful error. My life of surrender and acceptance to God, crucifying the flesh with its desires, is an active, daily laying down and taking up. Those who belong to Christ have crucified their old nature with all it loved and lusted for. Let us not be ambitious for our own reputations, for that only means making other people jealous. That's from the scriptures I'm reading. A woman wrote to me and she said, "How can a working woman advance in her position without self-assertion? How can she keep others from walking all over her?" Well, there's one of the areas in which submission to the will of God is going to be pretty tough, isn't it? And it's not going to look as though it will get you what you're after in that dog-eat-dog work world. But I would give you this from Paul's epistle to the Ephesians, chapter 4, verses 1 to 3. "I, a prisoner for the Lord's sake, as God has called you, live up to your calling. Be humble always and gentle, and patient too. Be forbearing with one another and charitable." Do you think those rules, obedience to those rules, will get you what you want in the work world? If they won't, if patience, humility, gentleness, and being forbearing will not get you what you want, the question that faces you today is, what do I want? Thy will or my will?
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Discipline, The Glad Surrender, and No Graven Image. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.